Well. We are back. Fresh episode. Council Connection. On this episode, we're going to be talking about needs assessments. We're also going to be talking about a movie review. Excuse me. Lean On Me. Classic 80s movie about Joe Clark. Also, housekeeping items and my final thoughts. And it's the part of the show I say, let's go. So you're a school counselor. You're trying to find ways to close gaps and overcome objectives in your school counseling program and your school's continuous improvement plan. First, we should read the ask a fourth edition. First thing. Second thing you should do is look at your data, but that goes back to your ask us fourth edition of the model. But for me, what I've been doing for my years as a school counselor, I use a needs assessment. They have been told me that you don't need to do a needs assessment anymore because you're looking at a data-driven program. Needs assessment is data. Also, it's a supplementary item to use. And I'm going to tell you why it's supplementary in a minute once we define what a needs assessment is. A needs assessment is a survey that is completed by students, parents, teachers, and our administrators. Basically, all stakeholders that offers a data-informed direction for a comprehensive school counselor program. When you talk about a needs assessment, you talk about possibly what things students want to work on, what type of meetings, what type of interventions work best for you or what has worked for your child, what has worked best with teachers in collaboration with administrators, so forth, so on. Basically, this is a tool that's going to talk about a school's strengths, weaknesses, and the areas in which improvement is needed. When you do a needs assessment, also, it's not just for the kids. It's basically to rate your counseling program as well. What things are you proficient at and what things you need to improve on? So a needs assessment can be used in multiple ways, a multiplicity of ways for you to improve your counseling program and close achievement gaps for students. Going back to the ask a fourth edition, of course, you're doing your school summary, which are to break down your demographics, retention and promotion rate, students in accelerated classes, free and reduced lunch students, behavior students, special needs students, so forth and so on. You track down all the data, you put together your goals, you're gonna have one career, one academic, and one behavior goal, of course. And you're going to have the data like, yeah, I'm make up a goal. By May 2024, my students that are reading will increase their RIT scores on the MAP screener by 10% from September 2023, which was 93 to 112 by May. So you want to try to increase those students' scores. Now, that's a general goal, which is, if you look at my students, which students are we talking about? All the students in the building, are we talking about 7th grade students? Are we talking about 8th grade students? Are we talking about 6th grade students? Are we talking about special ed students? Are we talking about gifted students? Are we talking about students that are taking Math 180 or Read 180 or System 44? Which demographic are you targeting? Now, that's a broad number, so remember, when we're creating goals based on data and needs assessment, we want to look at, is this attainable, measurable, smart, time-sensitive, time-friendly. is it realistic? What we need to look at also with that part, we need to drill down to the demographic where we can make the most change. So that's why I say look at possibly your students that are in support class, like Read 180 and Math 180, which is on page 39 of the ASCA's fourth edition. That's the red book, the red one that came out 4 years ago. Now, I'm not going to do another academic goal as far as students that fail three or more classes in semester term one will drop by 12%, and by May 2024, from 76 to, we'll say, 68, something like that. That's about 12%. It might be a little bit off. So 67, 66, somewhere around there. So we're looking at that type of goal. We have the goal set. We got a target audience. It's realistic because we got 7 months to drop that goal. So that can work. Now, this is where the needs assessment can still come in. You have your data, you have your target audience. You have 76 students. Now, if you want to drop those grades, or you want to do small groups with 8 to 12 students, or 6 to 10. You don't want to have too big groups. So, of course, when you create small groups, you want to go in 6 to 8 weeks, have about 6 to 10 students, rotate them in and out. So, you'd be able to target those students throughout the year. Now, when would I give a needs assessment, and why would I give it to those students? They're getting tutoring. Yeah, but some of those students might have test anxiety. Some of those students might have a difficult time being organized. Some of those students might just not found something that they like to read if reading is their deficiency. So this is where a needs assessment can also come into play, and you could diagnose what those needs of those students that are going to be in small groups need. So each small group is going to be a different entity. So this small group A might have a majority of having a difficult time being organized. Small group B might have test anxiety. Small group C might have a mixture of both, where you have to cover both those areas in a small amount of time. So doing a needs assessment drills down into what you would need to work on those small groups with. Another area of why a needs assessment works is making sure that the data aligns with the needs assessment. Of course, saying that if we don't need a needs assessment, it doesn't mean you still don't want to do one, because you want to capture what students feel they need to work on. Students might say, yeah, I know I'm struggling with this, but I'm almost on Read 180, but I also want to be better at getting coping skills, so I want to be better at learning how to relax. I want to be better in building my relationships with adults. I want to be better in time management. I actually want to learn how to be college ready, even though I'm in seventh grade. So these are things that you should look at as a needs assessment. It's not going to be be all, end all, of course, because your school data and your improvement plan is going to tell you where you need to go, which is why all counselors should be on a leadership team, not just one. All counselors should be on a leadership team so they can see the data from themselves and not get a second hand. So when we look at a needs assessment, of course, students want to know what they work on or what they want to improve on. And for me, that's a powerful tool for me, so I can match it up with the data that of their behaviors and their academic progress and their MAP scores. I can look at MAP scores and see how long students actually took their screener test. Did they just skip through all the answers? Did they rush? Did they take too long? Did they even finish it? Now, some districts, they give you a set time to finish those screeners. Some districts might give you as much time as you need to finish it, which can put a disruption to the two to three days of testing for teachers. But needs assessments can be a powerful tool regardless. It can be a secondary tool to guide your data on where you need to go. Or you let your data guide your needs assessment as far as, like I said, with behavior. You can see students are fighting. That's probably because they don't have coping skills, or they don't know how to code switch. Or conflict resolution, which means those things can show that we struggled in fighting last year because we don't know how to handle conflict or how to talk to each other, making friends. Kids, especially kids coming from 6th to 7th grade, the referrals are a little bit different as far as inappropriate physical contact, to fighting, to posturing, that type of stuff. So needs assessment can actually drive the program if you work it right with your data from your school. That's why, for me, needs assessments are always still going to be a part of what I do as a counselor. It's not going to be the be-all, end-all. It's going to be part of something that's going to help tell the story of my kids for the year. Now I'll be right back with movie review on Lean On Me. Now, this is a classic movie that's remember for, they call me Crazy Joe, now they could call me Batman. Lean On Me, I went to the movies to watch this with my parents back in 89 when this came out. And looking at it from a perspective of a kid, looking at it as a kid person, as a young adult, and now looking at it as an educator, I have several different viewpoints of this movie. And reading some reviews on it gives me a different perspective on the movie because it's a classic. I grew up with this movie. It was one of the few movies I've seen, especially in the 80s with the war on drugs and education problem, education reform. And the things we're still dealing with now in education, it's not as bad as it was back then, but it was bad enough. But for those, if you've been under a rock all your life, Lean On Me is about Joe Clark, a principal, who takes over Eastside High School in the East Coast, I believe, New Jersey. And the school was where he used to teach at in the 60s. It went all the way down here to a laughably unperforming school. It's graffiti and litter filled. The students run the building. 2,000 plus students are in charge of it, and they can't get a wraparound on trying to make it work. And Joe comes in there with his tactics, his ways of making things work. And of course, we get the Hollywood ending where the kids pass the basic minimal skills test, and great speech by students to stand up for Mr. Clark. But let's look at it from a kid's perspective. When I was 12, 13, when I watched this, I'm thinking like, wow, I don't want to go to school in New Jersey. That's the first thing. Second, like, they did it. They made it. That school's going to be all right. Looking at it from an older teenager to a young adult, like, this is fun. Look at Joe Clark acting crazy and just seeing sounds. Like, wow, the yeah, Joe Gucci. Just some small scenes and some memorable faces in this movie. Mr. Darnell, of course, that's our guy from, when you look at Soul Food. He made a spot in Aquaman, play Aquaman's dad. I mean, Aquaman, Manta's dad. Several other things that he was in. I'll catch his name. Several different actors, of course, Sam's. Kamisha, I can't remember her character's name, but the young lady from, she was on Cosby Show in Different World, Charmaine. See, Charmaine was on there. Lynn Thigpen, of course, she was on the Chief, I believe, just the Chief. It was a cop show on CBS. At least she died with a brain tumor in the early 2000s. If I get you those names right quick, Beverly Todd is another actress. Lynn Thigpen, Robin Bartlett, she played the course teacher. Robert Guillaume from Benson, and has some spots on Different World as the Dean of History. Michael Beach is Mr. Darnell. You've seen Michael Beach in different areas like Sons of Anarchy. He's done some work on Law and Order. He, of course, was in Soul Food. Movie Dahmer, Nightmare Kingstown, he was on SWAT play, Hondo's friend on the show, plays a dad on Tulsa King. Tulsa King's a good show. It's just a solid show if you want to watch it. It's on Paramount Plus. But I don't want to get bogged down with looking up IMDb's and these type of watching this stuff. He was on 100. I love looking at IMDb's because it gives me a look at what the actor has done over their career. But getting back to the movie, if you look at it as an adult and educator, you look at Morgan Freeman's character as a bully, power hungry, authoritarian discipline, not authoritative. Those sort of things. He also, because he is bombastic, misogynistic, scene in there where he's talking to the family where he's kicking out kids out of the school, the 300 kids that were problem students, trying to blame welfare as an issue. Why that's what I got to do with me. Those are the main things I look at as an adult. For me, as a kid watching this great movie, as an adult looking at it, this couldn't be the schools. And this was a legitimate school. And if you look at some of the numbers from that school, from the time Joe Clark was the principal, the dropout rate rose from 13% to 21%. The dropout rate rose. It went up 8% from 13 to 21. Students were still reading a bottom third of the country. These are your seniors. Your seniors are still reading a bottom third of the country. So when you look at it in this movie, it got Hollywood sensationalized it to have a happy ending, but you brought a light on a school that was underperforming, where a guy that's tried, we'll say, out of the box methods to try to reach your students, which goes back to building a relationship with your administrators and your staff and your school council department and your stakeholders. What can be done from the aspect of administration to collaborate with all stakeholders to make sure all gaps can be closed and all the needs of students are met? What can administrators do to work with those staff members and the counselors, the parents, and district and community leaders? What can be done? What can be done to make sure that all these things can be met and worked on to make sure that we actually reach the goals on a CSIP? What can be done? It's great to be third in a district or fifth in a district, top five. You improve from where you're at. Well, what about the true gaps of CFAs? Rigor, the standards being met. Are we scaffolding? Are we making sure that students are on pace with the pacing guide? Are we testing kids too much? Are state mandated tests really working? Are we just using testing just to test? Can we turn just questions into something that's not going to be a tangible reason to score? Can we do it like an end of course test instead of end of grade? I've said this years ago. Can we use milestones as an end of course test, like 20% of your grade, which means you have to test kids on what they've been taught? But I'm digressing from my major point of this movie. The relationship that Joe Clark built with his staff was not a relationship. He put the fear of God in them. He did not want their opinions. He did not want their help. until it was time that he had to lean on them. You didn't catch that. It wasn't about leaning on Joe. It was about Joe leaning on them to get him through. Lean on the kids. Lean on those that can show what they can do. Can your administration lean on you? Can administrators lean on you? Can you lean on them? Can your stakeholders lean on you to make sure you close the gaps for those kids? Can the parents lean on you to make sure that you're taking care of their babies? Go watch the movie again. You'll see the perspective that I've read a few different articles from. Still love the movie, but look at it in a different perspective as an educator. We'll be right back with my housekeeping items right after this. Of course, it's the part of the episode where we give our housekeeping items and talk about things that are upcoming on the show. And if you give me a minute, I'm trying to find my sponsors, which I don't have none yet because, you know, I need to be more consistent with episodes. I'll be tired. I ain't gonna lie, I'm tired. But Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify are the platforms you can find my podcast. You can follow me on the Twitter at Faye, the PSC. You can follow me on Facebook with the Council Connection with Faye and Vix. You can also support this podcast on our webpage, podcasters.spotify.com/it's long. Just Google Fabian Vix Podcast Spotify. You'll find it. Spotify for Podcasters. It'll take you to the main page. You can click a button that says support the podcast. You make donations. Or you can click on leave a voice message. We had a couple voice messages last year. We were able to get Renee Lopez, author of a scholarship book for athletes. And we were able to get the season 2 winner of The Amazing Race on here. So those leave messages. We want your input on the show. Please leave some feedback. We really would love it. Of course, I will be at GSCA this year in Augusta. I'll be presenting at Augusta this year on school to tips and tricks for Georgia counselors. What things they might need to use while using Scooter, best tools and tips and tricks. Might be doing some giveaways, so you might want to take a listen to that. Of course, I would love for administrators, counselors, teachers, any stakeholder, district personnel, if you would like to come on the show and talk about your district and things that you're doing to make student success happen, please come on my show. I really would love to have you on here. And we'll be right back for final thoughts. Of course, this is the part of the show where I would usually do a parting, my final thought. Not a parting shot, because it's my other podcast. This would be where I would usually do my final thought. But just want to say thank you for those that have been watching, listening to this podcast. I appreciate everything that you have done to support this venture that I've been on for 5 years. And hopefully we'll be able to continue this journey for many years to come. And that's all I want to say. Thank you. That's my final thought. Just thank you for it. And I'm out.
Popped out the Benz like it's common sense. Got a monkey on my feet like it's common sense. Got gorillas in the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Got a stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big wonder make me sweat like second nature.